Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working
at... An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hello, everybody. Chuck Bonnell, Julie Hayden. This is the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, Truth Straight Up.
And welcome. We're excited to have on with us today former Congressman Bob Livingston. He's got a new book out, and it talks about lawfare, which is really in the news these days. The new book is called The Rainbow Chaser, The Man Who Gambled for Success and Broke Even. Bob, thank you for your time, and welcome to the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, thank you both, and it's great to be with you. And by the way, I am a native of Colorado Springs, so great to get back to Colorado.
Fantastic.
Just telling our producer, Thomas, we had 2 inches of snow here on Friday, and it's 80 degrees today. So I'm sure you remember those days, a little bit of whiplash.
But I think he's got a new book out, Julie. Rainbow Chaser was his first. This is his second book, isn't it, Bob?
It is. The first one was more of a memoir. The second one is more of a revenge.
You talk about, you know, law.
What's the name of your newest book?
The newest book is The Rainbow Chaser. First one was Chaser.
Okay.
The Rainbow Chaser is largely a little bit of background because I had to put that in. But mostly what's happened to me since I was a prosecutor, I was in Congress, and I started a lobbying business and been doing that for the last 28 years. And basically it's what happened that was totally unexpected as I neared the end of my career and was ready for retirement. And all of a sudden, one day, as I'm with my wife of 60 years and enjoying life with my kids and grandkids down in New Orleans, Louisiana, the FBI knocked on my door. And surprise, surprise, it went from there.
Well, you used to be part of the FBI, didn't you?
I'm sorry?
Were you ever part of the FBI?
No, I was an assistant U.S. attorney, DA in New Orleans, and an assistant Louisiana attorney general. But I was never – I worked with the FBI. I was very close to them. I tried over 100 cases, jury trials. So I was an experienced prosecutor, and I never dreamed that prosecutors – could use their jobs and their authority to go after innocent people because of who they were or what their political beliefs would be.
Well, so tell us about that. I mean, what happened?
They knocked on my door. They interviewed me for about 2 hours. I was happy to speak with them because I've spoken with FBI agents in the past. And everything was great until they handed me a search warrant that said they wanted all of my records about a case that I had handled 5 years earlier. This was during the President Biden Garland Attorney General term, and they were going after people of all sorts for backgrounds and whatnot, as long as they were conservatives, Republicans, pro-lifers, religious protesters, or other people of that sort. I apparently had run afoul of them when I complained about their attorney, their ambassador in Ukraine years ago, and all of a sudden they knocked on my door.
Very sensitive about Ukraine, those Bidens were, you know.
Well, what were they charging you with, or potentially charging you?
And what happened?
Yeah.
Well, I had represented foreign people, entities, individuals, and countries. Over the 28 years that I've been in business, you have to comply with the Foreign Agents Registration Act, otherwise known as FARA. And that means you've got to report everything and all the contacts and all that stuff. We did it religiously. I represented Julia Tymoshenko, who was running for president against the current president, Zelensky, in Ukraine. My role was for about 10 months to bring her around D.C. and introduce her to dignitaries of all sorts and report everything, which I did do. We did, religiously. Unfortunately, we didn't know that another firm had represented her for 4 years, not 10 months, and they didn't report anything. Oh, but they were a Democrat firm, and they weren't investigated, but I was.
Yeah. Well, how did it all end up then?
Well, as soon as I got that warrant, I called the U.S. Attorney's Office and asked them, am I a target? Because my wife and I just could not believe it. They said, yeah, of course, and we told you, which they didn't do. And you're going to be under investigation, and if we can, we're going to indict you. We're going to charge you. We're going to take you to court, convict you, and put you in prison. And that's the way it is. I immediately had to hire a lawyer at great expense, because I hadn't practiced law for a very long time. We had 20 months of investigation, my lawyers did a great job, filed an 88-page brief. We proved unequivocally that I was innocent, but it was a turn on the old adage that says you're innocent until you're proven guilty. I had to prove my innocence.
Right.
I couldn't rely on that adage. And to prove my innocence cost me a fortune. And it made me so mad that when I started looking around, I found a lot of people that it happened to that in far worse situations. And so I put it all in my book. I put about 15 people or so examples of the stuff like this had happened to people who, unfortunately, even though they had to spend a lot of money, they were bankrupted. They lost their business, and in some instances, even sentenced to prison. But what bottom line is, folks, I came up with a conviction that lawfare, the business of a prosecutor seeking out a person simply because he's politically or personally opposed to him, can be a terribly dangerous thing for America, and that a free society can't stand, because if we have that kind of practice, it means that we become tyranny, nothing short of tyranny.
Did they try to use the interview claim that you lied to them? Did they try to use whatever
no,
it is?
Well, they didn't. They did not say I lied to them, because they knew I didn't tell. I told them everything exactly the truth, but they were still coming at me.
Yeah.
They felt that I had committed money laundering, which was ridiculous, and that I hadn't reported everything, which was also ridiculous, and they were just going to investigate. They didn't have a crime. They were coming at me because of who I was and what I had done to turn in the ambassador from Ukraine, from the United States to Ukraine at the time that President Trump was first president. And at that time, this woman was undermining or contradicting everything the Trump administration was trying to do in Ukraine. Oh, and by the way, she was also covering up for Hunter Biden, who at the time was hired by Burisma, the energy company, even though he didn't know anything about energy. And she was working in contravention to the interests of the United States. So I came home when I got here, and I wasn't hired by anybody to do this. I just picked up the phone, called the State Department, and reported her. I think that's what kicked this whole thing off, to tell you the truth. You know, it had nothing to do with the crime. In fact, I hadn't committed a crime. I've been
neither
in service. I'm 83 years old, and I've been in the Navy. I was a prosecutor. I've done in 22 years in Congress, and the last thing in the world I wanted to do was break the law. I complied with the law, but they were coming to get me, and they came, and they go after everybody that they don't, that they're not. That is not in their corner politically or personally.
Well, I certainly remember you as a congressman, and you were on the doorstep of being the Speaker of the House, as I remember.
Yes.
And you were leading the charge against, or one of the people leading a charge against
Clinton.
President Clinton.
That was during the Clinton impeachment. And that might have had something to do with it too.
And then Larry Flint, you got Flint eyes or whatever it's called, Larry Flint.
Larry Flint offered $1 million to anybody if they could come up with allegations against anybody, any senior Republicans, and guess who they tagged. And so it was time for me to leave Congress. But I had a very successful lobbying business for the next 28 years. And then all of a sudden, I was literally almost ready for retirement. And I get this knock on the door for something of the case that I had handled 5 years earlier. I mean, it cost me an utter fortune. And that's what the book is about. The people that get in this situation can be bankrupted immediately because of the law for the legal fees. And
right.
then beyond that, they can actually be forced to, because they don't have the money, they have to plead guilty, and then many instances to felonies. The January Sixers.
Right, I was going to say, we saw that with the January 6 people. I mean, and you're so right. We've seen this happen to people we know, where they charge them with ridiculous crimes. They investigate them. And
well, we know we're kind of friends with John Eastman, and that's what they did.
Well, that's a tragic case. He's been disbarred.
Right.
So it can be done criminally, and it can be done civilly, and it is.
Well, they did both. They did both.
For giving advice to the President of the United States. Just incredible.
Well, and I think one of the things they do we've seen with people too, is I don't even think so much they totally care if they even win the case. They want to do two things. Number one, they want to crush you for, you know, daring to disagree. And they want to use you as an example to anyone else. I think, and they particularly go after lawyers and say, hey, you want to defend Trump? You want to defend Trump's policies? Here's what we're going to do to you. And I mean, as we're seeing all of these revelations coming out now about Spygate and Russiagate and the lengths that they go to, I mean, you're right. This lawfare is, and it undermines, I think, so much of what we in the country. If you can't trust the judicial system, there really are not many other options, right?
Justice is supposed to be blind, but it's not blind when they start removing the blindfold and looking for people that they want to charge. Leventi Beria, under Joseph Stalin, was Stalin's hitman, actually his executioner. And he said, show me the man and I'll show you the crime. In other words, he said he could build a case against anybody as long as he had a target. And unfortunately, the Biden Merrick Garland Justice Department took that attitude in spades, and they just went after everybody. And of course, the chief target before Biden and during after Obama was President Trump himself.
Right.
And they threw more stuff at him than they've thrown at anybody, but he had the strength and fortitude and money to defend himself, and he beat him, and of course he won re-election.
Right.
Well, they ran out of time. They ran out of time. One of them, they would have gotten him if they hadn't run out of time, but they'd started a little late. So were you going to be tried in D.C.? Was that where the court hearing was going to be?
No, I beat him. I backed him off. They never charged me. I showed them unequivocally that they had no case. And so with about 14 months into it, we filed our 88-page brief. We said, you don't have anything to charge me. Unfortunately, it didn't hit the papers, so I didn't lose my business. But they didn't charge me, and they looked at it. They looked at the brief, and then they shrugged their shoulders and said, well, never mind, and they just walked away.
Yeah.
And that's what's happened to too many of these people. You know, Jack Smith is the chief antagonist, the chief prosecutor, special prosecutor for Merrick Garland, and he went after President Trump, and he also ran after a governor, one of the best governors of Virginia of modern times, Bob McDonnell.
Right.
And he, 2 years after his successful, excuse me, 2 weeks after his successful term in Virginia as governor, this guy Jack Smith filed an indictment against him. He charged him. He tried him. He convicted him. Sentenced him to prison because he put off that for appeal. and McDonald follows all the way to the Supreme Court. It cost him a fortune. He'll never be able to pay off all the money that he owes for attorney's fees. But the Supreme Court unanimously overturned Bob McDonald's conviction, saying that there was never a crime for which he should be, which he was charged in the first place, and he had admonished Jack Smith. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that is un-American, contrary to our entire fabric of our being as a free society and as a constitutional democracy. But these people have used this practice, and they're threatening to do it again if they ever come back to power.
What about judges? Sometimes, too, you look at, because you have, okay, so you've got the corrupt prosecutors and the investigators, and then you look at, for instance, like Judge Boasberg and some of the judges and the ruling. We've had some in Colorado regarding Tina Peters, a Mesa County clerk who's serving 9 years in prison. What do you make of the judges? What's going on? I mean, I think too many of them anymore are just activists, and they're using the law.
Well, many of them are former prosecutors themselves. Right. So they certainly are not going to do anything to a prosecutor they feel is bringing false or phony charges. But they're also, you know, they're highly politicized, at least in under the Biden judges.
It goes to show you that our review process in the Congress is just lacking, because they're letting some very inept persecutors, people, politically motivated people, who shouldn't be on the bench, they're letting them on the bench. And the country has become so politically divided that they think, some of these judges think that they are judge, jury, and executioner. They ignore the Constitution, and they levy the boom on innocent, politically targeted individuals. I mean, what happened to the January 6 people after that ridiculous riot? It was a riot. It wasn't an insurrection. But some of those people, just for walking around, got charged and convicted and imprisoned, and many for many years. And,
right.
And some held in solitary. But that was the whole judicial system of Washington, D.C. that was kind of rubber stamping what Nancy Pelosi and these people are trying to do. And it was a tragic miscarriage of justice.
Do you think that people, and I think people are becoming more aware, and certainly the kind of folks who listen to our podcast are aware, but do you think that people in general are aware enough of just how much this is going on and how dangerous it is?
By and large, I'd say, if you asked me that 6 months ago, I'd say no. But I think they're becoming more aware, and that's why I wrote the book. I've got about 10, 12, 15 examples of people who really got the short end of the stick. Beginning with President Trump and some of these other people. But I hope that people will read the book, because once you become convinced that the system is being misused for political purposes, the American people can stand up and say enough. Abraham Lincoln said, you can fool some of the people all of the time, all of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. Well, that's being tested these days. And I'm hoping that he will be proven right. But it's only because if people become aware of what's going on, it's being misused for political purposes.
You worry that they're going to go after you for writing the book? I mean, there's a certain risk there that you're taking.
Well, I'm
83 years old, and I can tell them, I can tell them what to do with their charges these days. I'm on top of it. They came at me, and I won. I beat them. Just like Trump did, but only they didn't come at me as hard as they did at him. But good friends of mine, weren't so lucky, and their lives were destroyed by it. Mine
but
wasn't.
Do you really think the American people, the system can reform itself? I don't think it can, because there's too many who are part of the system that are in on it. I mean,
it's just too entrenched.
It's too entrenched. The entire prosecutorial corps. You know, New York from James to the DA for Manhattan to anywhere else. I mean, they say they're going to indict the ICE agents for murdering people and everything else. And it doesn't.
Well, it's changing. It's changing by state by state and community by community. And there's no doubt we're losing in some of those communities. But we can only hope that we can retain the majority. I was born in Colorado, which has gone kind of the wrong way in many respects.
Yeah.
But I live in Louisiana, and we're on top of things, and I feel very comfortable that we're not going to go that way. But yeah, you're right. As long as people keep electing these wackos who don't care about the Constitution, it means that our freedoms and privileges are in jeopardy. We got to stop it. We got to do everything we can to stop it. And that's why I wrote the book.
Well, where can people, because you've been a great guest, and this, the book must have fascinating stories in it. Where can people get the book?
Well, it's on Amazon and every bookstore. And if they want to go to a bookstore and they don't have it, please tell the bookstore owner to start carrying it. It's got wide coverage around the country. And I think we're beginning to get a lot of traction. So thank you all for having me on the program. This is
the
kind
great
of
guest.
Thing that I need
great
to
guest.
Spread the word.
Well, all right. So thank you so much. We appreciate your time and good luck with the book. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Really appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Former Congressman Bob Livingston, his new book out, The Rainbow Chaser, The Man Who Gambled for Success and Broke Even. Well, you know, and that kind of segues into something else I wanted to talk about, and that is just all the Joe DiGenova being appointed special counsel to the Attorney General's office, which it's, I think, that, you know, I mean, he seems to be moving things in. I mean, my impression is that the president was not finally satisfied with how fast they were moving on some of these Spygate, Russiagate, Crossfire Hurricane investigations.
Well, they don't seem to realize, and certainly Pam Bondi didn't seem to realize, that when you put a career prosecutor on a case that's political, the mere fact they've been a career, quote-unquote, career prosecutor, it means they've been under Democratic administrations
right.
for God knows how long. And even when they're on the Republicans, the Democrats control the Justice Department, at least below the top lines. And so as a practical matter, they are going to slow walk it. They are going to spend all their time writing memos on why Brennan and Comey cases are bad and it shouldn't be done. And they'll do everything to bring it to jurisdictions like D.C. rather than Florida. And they didn't seem to realize this. And that's why I think Pam Bondi got fired. Pam Bondi, I don't think it was Epstein that got her fired, though that didn't help her any. That kind of blow up. But I think they want women. She just doesn't know what she's doing. She's unable to figure out that these career prosecutors, while they say all the right things, in fact, to have one, they have a political agenda. And they will not, in fact, do what they're told.
Well, and that's what, you know, the things I were reading was saying, at least DiGenova understands the bigger picture, right? He understands how everything is connected. And this is from Jacob. Three things are going to happen. Gallegos is going to be expelled. The first Trump impeachment will be expunged. And any member of Congress or Senate who is an attorney will be disbarred and jailed because they knew the charges were brought on non-evidence. I'm not going to hold my breath on that one, though. Three, the votes that were collected in Arizona and Fulton County will show Trump won. Also, anyone in the Democrat Party who's center-left will not vote in November. They're tired of the far left. If Jocelyn Bensalyn, Secretary of State Michigan, is arrested, I'm betting Jenna Griswold will follow. The information that Patel and Gabbard found in the burn bags is just amazing. Dumb Comey thought it was all to be burned. Comey, if anybody should realize that you don't burn papers, that, you know, without a backup. I agree with some of that, Jacob. I mean, I think it's optimistic. I think
it's very optimistic.
But at the very least, so we are seeing progress, right? I mean, CBS is reporting that cooperating intelligence officers and FBI people who were, working in that whole time there have been subpoenaed now to testify before a grand jury on John Brennan. And did he lie to Congress about the whole Steele dossier and the intelligence committee assessment and all of that,
but you don't want to depend upon did he lie to Congress, because that's so difficult. And they need to do the RICO case, which is basically did they conspire to get Trump either impeached or otherwise do a Nixon and resign. And they clearly did that. And I think, you know, they keep on going, well, Brennan lied, but that's always, you know, a difficult case to bring. And hopefully some of them are kind of going, no, that is not the big conspiracy trial is the one you need, not the early ones. Did somebody lie? Or, you know, when they tried to bring that one with Comey
right.
up up in D.C. I mean, it was a pathetic case
Right.
because, you can interpret it lots of different ways.
And well, and as you said, you need to get out of DC, right?
Oh, you gotta get
And
out of
because
D.C.
they've already showed, I mean, no matter what the evidence is, if they won't indict. So again, if it involves a Republican, they're just going to protect that. An interesting thing in the conservative treehouse that I hadn't thought of was he was pointing out that, that perhaps there's a money, or there was at least supposed to be a money angle to all of this, not just political. He was talking about when Obama sent all the money to Iran, the pallets of gold and dollars and things like that, that the plan was for some of that to be laundered back.
Well, that's true of all these NGOs
Right.
and the State Department and the AIDS Project
And that's
and
one of the reasons
USAID.
they wanted to get rid of Trump so hard and so fast. And that's why they're currently still trying to get rid of Trump so hard and so fast, because he put the sanctions against Iran. Now they're seizing the assets, right? And so all of this money that was supposed to be going corruptly to all these, that maybe that was what was supposed to build the Obama Library, right? And that's why they're having trouble, because it was supposed to be from stolen or money laundered Iranian funds. But it's just interesting. And I think he points out, which I think is true, that. And as you said, one of the problems you have is all of these people, so many of them have been entrenched in the system for so long, and they don't look at the, prosecutor sitting next to them as the enemy. That's their friend who they go to lunch with, right? And not only that, but there's a certain amount of, I don't know, institutional tribalism, I guess I would say. And I think it's so hard to break through that, number one. Then you have different people know different things. He in the conservative treehouse, he calls it silos, where certain agencies have this information, people have this information, and there isn't anyone who can see the whole picture. And it's actually constructed that way. It's constructed to make it impossible for anyone to see the whole picture. And what Tulsi Gabbard has done by bringing everything under her wing, right, is basically allowed all of this to start coming out,
Which is
which,
why they attacked Tulsi Gabbard endlessly,
right.
endlessly. And the CIA said, "Oh, you try to expose one of our hidden agents." Well, they just, secret agents. They sat there. She was an out front agent, and then all of a sudden, they just hit her for 30 seconds before the one. I mean, there's no question that I don't think Kash Patel. I don't think Dan Bongino. I don't think any of those people has the intelligence to really work their way through these ones. They just don't really understand how corrupt the process is, and they can't just kind of go, okay, well, we'll leave everybody in. I mean, you've got to take everybody's in there, either marginalize them, have them work in other things, and then bring in a whole new coterie of people because it's just.
Well, and time is not, when you think about it, time is on the lawfare people's side, right? I mean, Trump has, really 2 more years, right? And the last year is going to be a lame duck, and everybody else is going to be busy trying to get elected. And so I think for a lot of them, if we can just, like, they throw attacks out at Kash Patel constantly, he's, what are they saying? He's drunk. He changed. I
Well,
mean,
that's another side of it, yeah.
right. They do all of this.
Girlfriend,
And
etc.
I think what they want to do is they just want to keep him tied up. But all they need to do is hold out for a couple years,
Well,
right? And
and the
then.
real thing they did wrong, and even Biden knew it, was they got Trump too late. I mean, he didn't beat all the charges. He, in fact, ran out the clock.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the charges in Atlanta and in Arizona and so forth, he had gotten presidential immunity by that time. But, we've waited way too. We'll be closing on 2 years of wasted time where the Maria Long, the
Yeah.
prosecutor, was from the beginning, she was going to slow walk it. She was going to figure out everything she could do, so you'd be no time left.
Right.
And they've done it
And
time again.
it's much easier to do nothing, right, than it is to work
Well, they're
hard.
working hard and they'll have all kinds of
Yeah.
reports, and people are going to go, well, why haven't we brought anything against Comey?
Release it. Yeah, why haven't we released it? Well, my guess will be that they will indict him. I don't know that it'll ever go to trial, but I think what's happening that's good, though, is that the information is coming out. And I think Tulsi Gabbard is doing a good job, and it's getting out there. And the Atkinson transcripts, where the inspector general was clearly corrupt too, and lying, all of that.
And he was appointed by Trump. And as you're talking about
Yeah.
conservative treehouse, said, who recommended
Yeah.
Atkinson? Whoever recommended Atkinson is also a traitor.
Yeah.
But figuring out who all the traitors
Well,
are,
if you're Trump,
it's
you
hard.
can see, right? Not only that, but he's got wars, he's got a country to run, he's got all kinds of stuff going on. Trying to make your way through this, you would be like, who is that person? I don't even
Right.
know who that person
It's very
is.
long.
Yeah, I mean, I
And
just.
she's in charge of the entire Comey and everything. Well, was she? Oh, yeah, she's really good and she's really working hard. And what's happened? Nothing. She's writing the memo on why Brennan and Comey shouldn't be charged.
Then you have Jason Crow wandering around saying, as soon as the Democrat gets
Yeah.
back in power, they're going to do
Can
everything they can.
I
Yeah, go
say
ahead.
something?
Sure can.
There's an email that they brought up last week from John Murrell, stating that the 52 guys that were going to sign all that, he said in the email that the whole thing was a hoax. He said in an email,
You're talking
I mean,
about the
he's a
52 intelligence officers who he said
He
that
said
it was.
in the email it was a hoax.
Wow.
I don't know how much more evidence do you need?
Right. Well, exactly. Well,
Okay.
and then he goes, well, I was just joking. I meant to say it was a joke or so, but you're right. I
Yeah.
think at the very least, step one is get the information out, right? And they're not burying it behind, well, we can't reveal it now because it's an ongoing investigation. Fortunately, they've knocked that off, right? They're not doing that anymore. So I don't know. Are you hopeful, Jacob, that we'll see?
I'm thinking, well, this is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking they're not going to go the indictment route. They're going to go out and out and just arrest these people and bring them into court and face the judge. Because if they go the indictment route in Washington, they don't have a chance. Just arrest them, go in front of the judge, and if the judge throws the case out, then you know there's a fix. That's what I'm hopeful. That's what I'm saying.
Rather
You
than,
don't want to do the grand jury round. Okay.
yeah,
No, you don't.
down in Miami,
No, you don't want to go. No. I just
well,
wanted to say one other thing, real quick, because I'm driving. I hope Sean Boyd's listening, because last week or 2 weeks ago, she was complaining that all these people are leaving Denver and so on and so forth, and all these houses are up for sale. When the pot became legal, and the pot people couldn't put the money in the bank, what'd they do? They went out and they bought property, because that's the only place they could put their money. Now that the pot businesses aren't doing very well, they're all putting up their properties for sale, and that's why you're getting all these thousands and thousands of homes and properties up for sale now.
it's
Oh,
also there's
that's
a
interesting.
glut of these pot stores.
Okay.
You could say that to them.
All right, I'm gonna go. All
All
right, bye.
right. Thank you, Jacob. Thank you. I had not heard that, but that could be.
Well, they're just part of,
Right.
Palantir leaving all these other ones.
Well, yeah, there, yeah, there's
Does
yeah.
Donna want to say something? Is that you,
Were
Donna?
you chiming in, or were you maybe not? Well, at, you know, at the economy in Denver, you just look around and it's like,
Well, I've shorted the economy. I mean, it's just gonna. It's amazing how many businesses are being either driven out by the overregulation or like Palantir because they're harassing them. I mean, it's just, and eventually people kind of, well, things will kind of not, be a slow growth again. No, it's not going to be a slow growth.
You see, this is some recommendations. Some task force now is recommending, what do they do with the pavilions in downtown Denver? I remember when that opened and
Oh
it was
yeah, that
like
was the
pretty
biggest thing
full.
in
It was
town.
huge, right? And now you go there, it's empty, all the stores have left. And they're like, well, it's obsolete. And so what we really need to do
Shelter.
is like put in affordable housing, put some affordable housing in there, and then some stores.
Okay, there you go. There you go.
You have completely empty downtown skyscrapers. It's like no one wants to live downtown. People are fleeing downtown. People won't go in the 16th Street Mall because it's
No.
so dangerous. So you're going to put a park down there? I guess maybe that's where the fentanyl users and the heroin users and all the fake homeless people could go hang out in a new park. People just
Yeah.
like that's it's just ridiculous. And some of it isn't even their fault. Some of it, I think, is just retail is suffering too. We were listening, our son listens to Tim Dillon, the comedian, and he had, I don't always agree with everything he says, but
Oh, nobody does,
yeah, nobody, but he was talking about he was wandering around a mall the other day in Los Angeles, and he's like, man, if you want to see what's happened.
Decline and fall of the American Empire.
Right, he said, just go wander around a mall. And that is so true. I was at the Cherry Creek Mall not that long ago, and I bet I was trying to figure out when was the last time I'd been there. Ever
Yeah,
since they started charging for
that
parking.
was the biggest
Yeah,
mistake.
it's like, because what I'm gonna, I love to shop, right? So I'm happy to go in and wander around. But it's like, if I'm not going to buy anything, I don't want to have to pay for looking around. But it was
And you inevitably do buy something. Oh, I need this. That's what they were longing
the store that looked like it was doing any business at all was this giant Apple store, which they had put where the old Eddie Bauer used to be, kind of there by Nordstrom's. But it's like, if dad isn't quite right, but I was just surprised at how different it was. I mean, all the stores that were gone, and you know, I don't know what happens, and that's what he said too. It said malls are not coming back, so redesigning the pavilions and with affordable housing, I don't think it's going to solve downtown's problems.
Well, it'll take up space, but certainly.
Just in downtown, right? If you're an investor, would you be like, oh yeah, that seems like a good idea? It's like, no, I mean, there's no one down there anymore. So, you know, we'll have to see. The Republican Party, just kind of the update, ding dong,
Ding dong.
Britta's dead or gone. She's not dead. She's gone. The chair of the Republican Party resigned officially. Eric
On
Grossman,
17th at 11:59 is effective at least.
right? And Eric Grossman is the vice chair, and he is,
The titular temporary chair.
yeah, and I think how do I? One of the things I liked, and there'll be a lot more to talk about after this, but just kind of wanted to bring you up to speed. So that did indeed happen. I think people were like, "Is she really going to resign?" She did indeed resign, and then wrote us a letter saying how we all have to work hard, and she agrees that it was all her fault that the assembly was such a
Oh,
disaster.
here's a great joke.
But
I personally did all the bad things.
right,
Well, it's true.
that's true. You did.
For an entire year, you did everything
But
you
I
could
think
to suck.
Eric has, as he said on our show, the right approach where he said, what I really want to do, he said, I don't want to get into policy debates. I don't want to do this or that. He said, I just want to clean things up and get it so we can hold, number one, like a legitimate, decent meeting. And it's like, he's like, just start small, clean things up, you know, stop the ship from sinking, and then we can start figuring out about where we want to go. And I think that's just a really good, particularly as we're heading into the midterms and candidates are busy anyway, and the party has no money. So I think that's just a real good place.
I think he's going to do a great job.
I do
He's going to
too.
hopefully he can hand off whoever's going to be the next sacrificial victim of being a chair, and hope it is just another establishment one. The establishment has no reason why you want to elect an establishment person is beyond me. But it used to be because they had a lot of money behind them, but since the money guys just want jungle primaries, it's gone. So an establishment person has nothing in Britta had nothing to offer, absolutely nothing to offer.
Oh, Dr. Dunn, is that the song Ding Dong, the Wicked Witch is Dead? Yes, that's what I was referring to.
We have to put that on.
Yeah, well, why, that's true. I would not, why, if you agree with the caucus and assembly system, would you vote for an establishment chair candidate? Because the establishment wants to get, they made it clear. They're not even hiding it anymore, right? They're not even being tricky about it. Both in the media, you got Barb Kirkmeyer passing, trying to pass laws. They want to get rid of the caucus
Dick
and assembly.
Machine
Dick
saying.
Bottoms, right? They want to get rid of the caucus and assembly system and then implement a jungle primary. Now, you know, in California, it might be working to the Republicans' advantage, but it's not going to
Oh,
work.
they'll wreak that. So,
Yes.
I mean, that was a whole thing while they threw out Eric Swalwell. I mean, he was getting in the way. He had too many votes, so they asked him on a Friday,
How ruthless they are, you know?
on Friday, would you like to get out? Said, no, I'm leaving, or I'm pretty close. And they go, you better get out. Monday morning, his whole life was
Right.
destroyed. I mean, his entire
It's
life was.
like they're like, you want to rethink that? So the next one, you're right. When they say to the next candidate, you want to resign? You want to step down? They'll be
And
like,
you
sure,
go,
yeah.
well.
How quickly can I do it? Well, and that won't happen in Colorado. The Democrats control everything. So we'll all of our races will be between two Democrats. And why the establishment wants that? I mean, why, if you consider yourself sort of an establishment member of the Republican Party, why you would want that is
Well, I
beyond
understand if
me.
I was a billionaire.
Well, no, the donors I get why they do, but your average person out there who sides with the rhinos and the establishment people, don't they get, you know, because we have, you know, in Adams County, our chair, right? Does she not understand that the people she's supporting want to destroy her whole
No, she doesn't.
organization?
She doesn't.
Doesn't she get that? It's like, why? You know, we won't need any Adams County and our nice Adams County Republican Party pens because there won't be an Adams County Republican Party. It's like, I guess we could sell them on eBay then.
Sure. Along with homeless, at the homeless shelter up in billions. You can keep, yeah, have those pens for sale.
That's right.
I mean, it is amazing. It is amazing. And everything's moving at an incredibly rapid rate. I mean, people think they have a lot of time. They don't. They don't. I think this may be the last, Republican generally primary, and they'll get rid of them. They'll kind of see how awful they are. And already the Democrat business interests all want to get rid of, because the progressives are coming.
Right.
They can see that already, what they did to Diane DeGette, and she lost at the assembly. And so they're coming out. The question is, can they get it out quick enough? Can the Dick Wadhams and the...
Well, their stated goal is by 2030.
Well, they're going to get it by 2028, my guess.
Well, I think it would probably need a constitutional amendment.
No. Well, who knows what it'll need, but they'll get around that too. They're going to, the biggest shock that has happened in Republican politics, and not Republican, in electoral politics in Colorado, was a failure in Colorado, as well as other Western states, to go to jungle primaries and ranked choice voting. Everybody thought that would pass. They spent,
by Kent Theory.
Kent Theory, they put up, $8-9 million against nothing.
Right.
And it still failed. So that was a shock. And that set them back. And therefore, I didn't even think we'd have caucus and assembly now, because that was, everybody thought, that much spending. But it also lost in other Western states. So they're not giving up. They're just going to, let's do a different way and call it something else.
Courageous Colorado.
That's right. Courageous Colorado. Let's make what they call big democracy now, I think is what they're calling it. Big democracy. Yeah. No democracy is big democracy. And so it's an amazing, to watch all the chess pieces, because they're, nothing is sacred anymore. You go, well, no, they won't do that. Oh yeah, they'll do that. They won't take a ex-congressman and indict him for bullshit FARA. Oh yeah, they will.
They won't raid Mar-a-Lago. Yeah.
No, they won't do that. Yeah.
No, you're right. There are no limits now. Well, and here's a question. I had Judicial Watch has been doing a great job, sort of challenging voter rolls, and they were talking about how they were getting thousands and thousands of voters thrown off of voter rolls here. But my question, I'm betting that it didn't actually happen, right? I haven't seen anybody say, there's suddenly 230,000 fewer voters in Colorado, or whatever the number was, right? Jenna Griswold is going to appeal it and slow walk it. And she, for whatever reason, is not particularly popular anymore. Hey, go ahead. Did you something to say?
Can I interrupt one more time? Have you seen the latest Phil Weiser commercial?
No.
Oh, you got to see it. So in the middle, he says, and I'll beat up on people like Trump. And then it says, he fights Trump in court. So it says in the print, really barely, you can barely see it, but it says, but Trump's mostly won. you gotta see the commercial. It's
well, funny. Look for that. Let's see. I'll see if I can find it. That's pretty funny.
That's
pretty funny. And this from Dr. Donna. Just one reason I'm running a petition for home rule in Larimer County, but as we found last time, the establishment part of the party is the biggest wall we're coming up against. Yeah. Obviously they want to just control things and keep things under their control.
Well, the thing about home rule means that ostensibly the legislature can't dictate what is to happen in Larimer County because it's a home rule thing. But who wants the left-wing legislature to dictate everything? Establishment. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are so far left. Barbara Kirkmeyer is so far left. I mean, Barbara Kirkmeyer might as well be a Democrat. She talks a good game, but as we said before, she came on and Jeff Hunt asked one tough question, I think inadvertently, saying, you got an F on the Libby scorecard, and the mask came down. She was snarling and spitting and everything else. I mean, it's just an amazing...
And she'll probably be the gubernatorial candidate.
She will undoubtedly be the gubernatorial candidate.
She'll lose, but...
Well, and she will undoubtedly lose by 20 points, and then we'll all be happy. We don't spend any time on this show beating up Victor Marx. Not because we think Victor Marx is a good candidate, not that we want Victor Marx. It's because we Republicans and all the radio stations spend all their time not looking at Bennett and all his flaws, not looking at Hickenlooper. They spend all their time for somebody who came second, make it second at the assembly behind somebody else.
And second significantly.
Yeah. I mean, that's what they spend all the time. And they're, yay, We got this semi-grassroots guy out. Hooray! And now we can look forward to what? What
Right.
can you look forward to?
You can look forward to him losing to Bart Kirkmeyer.
Yeah.
And then you can look
And
forward to
then
Bart
Bart Kirkmeyer getting slaughtered by
Well, and you're right, and that's, and I'll just weigh in briefly on that. That's one of the reasons, because we've had people talk to us and ask us, and I'm like, there are sometimes, and I think anyone who listens to our shows know we are not shy about talking about Republicans, that particularly Rhino Republicans that we think are trying to destroy the party. I don't think that's Victor Marx's deal. I think Victor Marx just wants to be governor. I don't think he wants to destroy the party. But our thing is, like you said, it's like it doesn't matter. There are too many other things going on that we need to talk about. The Victor Marx squabble, and I get why some people are going after it, and I get why some people, you know, to them it's such a
spend all their
significant deal.
time, you know.
But it's like, on the other hand, like you said, you know, sometimes you think, and I won't do this, but you kind of think, maybe I should register as a Democrat so I can vote for Michael Bennett over Phil Weiser.
You don't have to register a Democrat. All you have to do is be independent.
Okay, you're right. Just be an independent, unregistered.
Well, I've done that. One year, I forget who would raise it when I became an independent. And I might this time, because I think whoever the Republican candidate is,
I think
it's going to look, is going to get.
And passed. I think Phil Weiser would be very dangerous. He'll take what's already happening
and double down on it. Yes and no. I mean, quite frankly, he'll destroy the state quicker. And maybe there's a better thing saying, rather than Bennett kind of playing halfy, like Polis did.
Right, right. Yeah, Bennett would be very similar to Polis, I think.
Yeah, you know, okay, I won't let that, but I'll let this. And, oh, I can't do anything about that and bullshit. So I think, I'm not sure. Should we take our medicine and be destroyed? Because that's where the state's heading. Or do you want to kind of over a longer period of time be destroyed? Mm-hmm. So it could go either way.
Domestic
note. I want to talk about one other thing,
sure.
Which is Sean Pond. Who was down at the assembly, and he had some, you know, enthusiasm going there, but he couldn't get to 30% against, who was the, not Bailey, God damn it. Anyway, he couldn't get enough votes to get on the ballot.
For what race?
For senator.
Okay.
Against
Hickenlooper.
Against Hickenlooper. And so he's now signed up with the, he's on the ballot for the American Constitutional Party. Well, what good is that to you? I mean, how does that help? How does it, there's no chance the Republicans going to win that race, but you just want to run because you're so egotistical?
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Yeah, why take any votes
that's
away?
That's what Daniel Neuschwanger did, and that's the last time I've ever heard of Daniel Neuschwanger. And we have other ones. That, you know, they just said, okay. Greg Lopez, yeah. Our good friend that, why is Greg Lopez running? I mean, what benefit does he do to anybody other than his own ego? And we loved it. We used to love Greg Lopez. But he's just sitting out there as one more. You know, I don't doubt that his campaign is supported by Democrats to the extent they even care enough to buy him off. But he does nothing for us. Nothing. Nothing. And same with Sean Pond. I mean, he looks like a interesting future candidate. No longer. He's gone. And so it is never do we seem to have, you know, this guy who's been able to kind of see through everything.
We're not as vicious as the Democrats. If you don't get out of the race, if you're a Democrat, they like, look what they did to Joe Biden.
Yeah,
look what they did to Swalwell.
You
better get out of the race. So, well, more on all of that than on Wednesday. And who knows what the way the field, as you said, things are moving fast. And who knows what will happen. Well, the ceasefire theoretically is over on Wednesday with Iran too. So plenty to talk about there.
Yeah.
Want to thank former Congressman Bob Livingston, Dr. Donna, everybody on Zoom. And we will see everybody on Wednesday.
Take care, everybody.